The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
Good. Very good turnout tonight. It's the busiest Monday I've seen in a long time. It's strange to say busy. Everybody's sort of sitting still. Not really busy technically, but good to see so many people here. Okay. Just before I start, I think I know most of you, but is there anybody that's brand new to meditation, never meditated before? All good? You? Never meditated before? Never ever?
Not here.
Not here. Okay, but you've done meditation before though, right? Okay. So just for the benefit of you who've never been here, and also anybody online, usually what we do is we sit meditation for maybe about 45 minutes to an hour kind of thing. And then after that, if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask any questions after. You okay to sit for an hour or? You okay to sit for an hour? You're okay to sit for an hour? Okay, perfect. Yeah, good. I like your spirit.
Good work.
Okay. That's the case. We're all good to go. We might start the meditation then. And just start by taking a comfortable seat. Just take a few moments to settle in to your seat. Just allow the body to relax. To let go any kind of concerns about things you might need to do later in the week or tomorrow. And just take a few deep breaths just to connect with the body as we sit here. And also for the way that we're feeling at the moment, the kinds of thoughts and moods that might be running through our mind. Take a moment to take stock of this body as it sits here in this place. Can scan over our body and notice if there's any places of tension or tightness. Maybe in the shoulder or the neck. Even our face muscles. Any tension or tightness that you have, just simply release that tightness. Try to make your all aspects of your body soft and supple. Relaxed and at ease. Can notice the different sensations coursing throughout our body. Maybe the feeling of coolness on our exposed skin, the touch of the cloth against our skin. Pressure from the body sitting on the seat. Just take a few moments to scan your attention up and down the body, noticing whatever sensations are there, whether they're pleasant sensations, neutral sensations, or even painful sensations. Any vibration, tingling, pulsing, movement of the body. Try to tune in to the changing nature of these sensations for the next few moments.
And as you notice all the different changing sensations throughout the body, start to notice the breath as it moves throughout the body. Where can you notice it the most? It might be in the abdomen as it expands and contracts, in the chest, or you might feel it at the tip of the nose as the cool air comes in and goes out. Or you may even start to notice it in other places in the body. You can notice it at your shoulders as they move with the breath. Or in your back. Even in your neck. And if you pay close attention, you can even feel the arms moving as the breath comes in and goes out. Try to be aware of the breath in a very broad sense. And try to notice as it moves different parts of your body around. Just become interested in how the breath courses all throughout the body. try to open and expand your awareness of the breath to encompass the whole body breathing as one whole organism. You can even take some deeper and longer breaths to make this more pronounced. Let your awareness envelop the entirety of your body. Just like it was submerged in a warm bath. Permeating every part of your body. The warm water seeping in and enveloping you. Try to make this warm, comforting awareness of your whole body as it breathes. as you breathe in and breathe out these fulfilling breaths, and as our awareness of the breath permeates every part of our body as a unified whole, try to notice that these concepts that we call the body can disappear. This feeling that my legs or my feet are down below me somewhere, or my back is behind me, or the top of my head is above me. Try to let all these conceptualizations go. And just be the whole breath. This warm, calming and full movement without it being in any place or any part. Just the feeling of the breath. The entirety of your experience is just the breath. Try to let everything else dissolve and just be this breath. Take a moment to reflect now on the meditation session that you've just had. Were there some moments of peace, stillness? Or moments of clarity and contentment? Moments of gratefulness, or joy, or happiness? Try to recollect any positive emotion that came up tonight in the meditation. And bring that to mind. And think of its quality. And think how fortunate you are that you had the opportunity to experience this. This feeling of calm or peace, happiness, or clarity. Just as you're fortunate to experience this, you can think of somebody now that you love or care for, you're close to. And this positive experience that you had, you can also wish this for them. That they too experience the calm and happiness and ease, relaxation and release that you felt in the meditation. May they too experience this. May they experience this calm and peace just as you have. And you can think of a few more people now. Maybe close family members or close friends. And you can also wish that they too have the good fortune to experience this calm and clarity and insight from meditation. May they also experience these positive and fulfilling mind states and emotions. And if you did have any of these positive mind states, now you can think of all the other people that have also come here tonight to meditate as well. These people that are here in the room with you, doing the same thing. They all have the same aim. They get calm and clarity and understanding in their lives. And maybe some of them are dealing with difficulties or having difficulties in the meditation. And so any of this calm and peace and goodness that you experienced here tonight, you can wish that anybody in this room can experience the same thing.
Hopefully you all had an enjoyable and peaceful sit. Well, it wasn't too long. Any problems or confusions? Good experiences, bad experiences, neutral experiences, bored experiences. All seem like neutral experiences, no answers. Covered everything now, yeah? The full spectrum of experience. If anybody has any questions, they're more than welcome to ask. You can either come up to the microphone. If you don't really feel like coming up to the microphone, you can just yell them out and I'll answer them. Anybody online as well, if you've got any questions, you can type it into the typey-type thing, the chat, typey-type, whatever it is. Live chat, that's the one, that's the word.
Thank you, Ajahn. Oh. We do have two questions online.
For sure. Let's start there.
Neither of them relate directly to meditation, perhaps.
That's fine. Yeah, it's good. All good.
The first one's a little bit technical, but I'll start with this and then we'll just see if there's any question in the room to follow. Namaste. Of all the five khandhas, body disintegrates naturally. But the other four khandhas have to be destroyed by my own efforts to attain freedom or nibbana. Is that correct? And if so, how to destroy the other four khandhas, Ajahn? Thank you.
So I understand the inclination here. And just for anybody that maybe doesn't know what the five khandhas are, it's a bit more of a sort of technical Buddhist teaching. Basically, the Buddha mentioned that, or taught that essentially who we are as a psychophysical being is made up of, you could say, five key components. Those five key components are the body, feelings, memories, perception, thoughts and formations, and consciousness. Consciousness in terms of the basis of consciousness of the five senses. These are the things that essentially make up what the Buddha said that a human being consists of. Now, one of the sort of fundamental teachings is that we the five khandhas, these five components of our psychophysical experience, they're impermanent. They just come and they go and they rise and they pass away. And so, the question of, can see how the body will disintegrate, obviously, when you pass away or something, but how would you, in essence, disintegrate the other four khandhas? And I think you use the word destroy. So I understand the inclination here of all. I get how this physical thing drops away, but how do these other kind of mental things drop away? And as I said, I think he used the word destroy, but I don't really think that's the right kind of way to put it. It's, you know, you don't want to, you know, destroy the other four khandhas, because then, you know, you're going to be dead. Like, it's, if you're going to be dead, you're actually not going to be conscious. You're not going to be aware. You're not going to be awake. And so, the question is, well, how do you now actually sort of, see how do you basically let these go? And so, you know, you don't really actually have to do anything to see that they do pass away, because they are already passing away at every moment. They're already something that is, you could say, disintegrating, you know, right now. The thoughts and the formations that come up in your mind, they come and they go. The kinds of memories and the different perceptions that we have of the world, this is always changing, this is always coming and going. It's not a static thing. The feelings that we have in our body, these aren't static. They're not there all the time. They're always coming and going and changing. Any kind of conscious experience that we have, this is changing all the time. It's arising and passing at every moment. So it's not really like you have to disintegrate them and destroy them and get rid of them and you know, knock them out of the park or whatever. It's you don't really necessarily need to do that. In essence, because they are already changing at every moment, they are being, you know, in essence, you know, to use your terminology, being destroyed at every moment. They're just passing away at all times. So there's nothing that you really sort of have to do. You don't have to try to get rid of those. And just a, you could say like a bit of a preamble to that, or a practice that you would sort of do before that is like, while it's good to reflect on the other four, we call the, the cycle or psycho or the mental kind of form, khandhas, those other four, they are a bit harder for us to get our heads around sometimes and see that they are just constantly changing at all times. It's easier for us to sort of look at the body and see that this is a process that's always changing. So it's good to any kind of practice that you're doing, always sort of like ground yourself in the body and use the body as your mainstay. Once you've really understood that as much as possible, that it is a changing phenomena, and then once you've really understood that clearly, then you can move on to more the mental side of things, because, you know, the mental side of things, it's harder for us to catch. Anybody that's tried to sit there and watch their thoughts sort of knows that they're slippery. You know, you think, you sit there and you try to contemplate, and then you know, all of a sudden you get lost in a thought and you try to, okay, I'm thinking now, I'm watching the thought, but in essence all you're doing is thinking again, and you're basically sort of chasing your tail a lot, you're basically saying, I'm perceiving now, but it's like you're already on the back end of actually perceiving something. The perception has already passed by the time you're sort of labeling it. So it is a bit harder to look at the four, what we call the four nama khandhas, the four mental khandhas. So if you get a good foundation in the body, the mind will be very calm and very still and very stable, and it'll be a lot easier for you to look at the different mental khandhas. So if you really start with the body and get a good foundation in that, then it becomes easier and more intuitive to actually do this with the four mental khandhas. Hopefully that answered that.
Thank you very much, Ajahn. Are there any questions in the room?
Yeah. Oh, I like a mic speaker. That's very good.
people might want to hear me.
Yeah.
So my experience at the moment in meditating is I'm peacefully breathing in and out.
Mm.
I am using a meditation word, buto.
Yep.
Buto. Okay. I'm listening to my breath as well as focusing on the body, feeling very calm and relaxed.
Yep.
I'm looking out through my eyes and seeing static and slow motion. And I'm wondering what I should look for next in that state.
What do you mean by you see static and slow motion? Is that with your eyes open?
When I close my eyes, I normally see static.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and
okay.
But yep. I am having forms or movements slowly, somewhat holographically maybe. I'm wondering whether I should just let that be or whether I should focus on not trying, but just allowing things to form, become more stationary.
What do you feel is the right thing to do at that point?
I've been thinking that I should look at the edges of the movements, as well as I am trying to maintain awareness of my whole body.
Yep.
But the movements that are showing in the visual spatial thing, I am trying to look at the edges and see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. When you do this and those kinds of practices that you're doing leading up to it, does every step of that way feel calm? And when you're up to this step now, it still sort of feels calm? Or is there a kind of, is there an agitation there of, should I do this, should I do that?
And I'm just setting intentions beforehand. Yeah. I'm not jumping around.
So it is reasonably calm then, yeah. Well, it's hard for me to say exactly what you should do next, because a lot of these things when you're practicing meditation, a lot of times it is very intuitive. Like, well, this feels like the right thing to do, and this is this thing that I'm doing now, this is the thing that's actually making me calmer and calmer. This is the thing that seems to be leading to more and more clarity. And if I try to do this other thing, it leads to more sort of agitation and things. So it's hard for me to say exactly, okay, you're at point K now. You need to move on to like it's hard for me to sort of point that out exactly to you. So you do sort of have to feel your way through this a little bit. I don't want to give like the standard interpretation of like, oh, just go back to your breath, or just, you know, do this or do that. It's because that in some ways can also be limiting as well. It's like you can sort of get sort of stuck if you do that. So what I would advise is just like really sort of noticing the experience, really sort of trying to feel your way through. It's like, well, what feels the most right? What, like, I've got this kind of sphere of my visual field, and you know, if I keep sort of if the awareness sort of stays here, things become, you know, calm and more peaceful. And if I sort of move that out further, I become even more calm and more peaceful and more enveloped in this experience, then, you know, that's the right thing to do.
So pay attention to how my mind is reacting to this.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the best advice that you can like be given in meditation is that I think the advice that you give yourself. It's because nobody knows your own mind and knows your own experience like you do. So having somebody say, do this, do that, it doesn't sort of cut as deep. But if you do actually like look into your own experience as much as you possibly can, this is the best advice that you can ever be given. So sorry I can't give you the exact advice, but hopefully it's helpful.
It's okay, I'm here, I forget I should ask.
Sorry?
I'm here, I may as well ask.
Yeah. No, but I think you should take encouragement from it, because it seems like you're on the right track. So Yeah, I don't think you're sort of doing anything wrong or anything like that, so don't take it in that way. But I do think you're actually doing something right, and you should take encouragement from it.
Thank you, Ajahn.
No problem. How did you learn Buddho, by the way?
Some book,
okay. Buddho is a very very popular method of meditation in Thailand. Pretty much, if you go to somebody and they teach you meditation, they'll just go, just say Buddho over and over in your mind. And you go, okay, I'll go and do it. And it's like, it's hard to do. And you go back after a couple of weeks. I'm like, I've been trying this Buddho thing. It's not working. And they'll say to you, like, can you do it for a long time? It's like, nah. And I was like, just keep doing it then. So, okay.
Thank you, Ajahn. And that just brought to mind, Ajahn Brahm talks about having a peace-o-meter.
Okay.
Or peace-meter. I don't know. Some of you might be familiar with that. When he says you're just registering what where your level of peace is at and the effect that different things has on your peace meter or peace-o-meter. Okay. We have a question actually that came last week in the meditation session we didn't have time for, and the rest of the AV team have reminded me that this needs to be asked.
Okay.
So I'll just start with this because it's a hangover from last week. Hi Arjan, could you elaborate a bit how meditation helps to eliminate resentment or any other negative emotion? Thank you.
That's a pretty broad category, you know, any other negative emotion as opposed to resentment. Let's just talk about resentment and let's sort of like sidebar, you know, any other negative emotion for now. With resentment, I think in some way that, you know, the reason we kind of resent people or we resent sort of situations and resent things in the world, it seems like it's got a lot to do with us not liking the way that thing is for whatever that reason is. And in some respects, we're not sort of accepting that personal thing for whatever they are. You know, that something about them is going against what we like. Now, the more we sort of practice meditation, and depends on the kinds of practices that you actually do, obviously, but the more we actually practice some kind of meditation, what you're learning to do in some sense is to see that all phenomena in the world is impersonal in some way, and that all phenomena in the world is just sort of arising according to causes and conditions. And if we can start to see this in some way and see that these things in the world really are actually quite impersonal, it's very hard for us to be resentful towards these things, because it's just phenomena that's coming and going. It's like, you know, say for example you get, you know, resentful towards a cup or something. That's, you'd sort of, if somebody said to you, "I really resent this cup, I think it's a terrible cup, and I can't believe that this cup is this way." Most people, you'd look at that and you're like, "What? What are you on about? It's a cup. Like, how can you resent a cup? The cup didn't really like make itself and be itself the way it is." And so likewise, if you practice meditation, you see that everything in existence is just causally formed. It doesn't have any kind of like real kind of, doesn't have any real, you could say, way that it's made itself. And so however that organism is acting, it's pretty hard for you to resent that because it's just this impersonal thing. So we can let go of this kind of resentment we have because we see that it's a sort of a miscalculation in our own mind. And we can sort of see that any resentment that we actually have, it's got nothing to do with the object out in the world. It's got to do with the way that we're responding to that object. And that object is just something that is totally impersonal. So it becomes easier for us to, you know, take a bit of the sting out of that resentment. If we practice meditation in this way. But it's not like this will always happen. It's not like you won't get resentful of different, you know, of different things. But you could say, you know, the sting of it, the really sort of intense resentment that you get, you know, it's pretty hard to get that when you can see everything that's sort of impersonal. Hopefully that answered the question.
Thank you very much, Arjan. There are probably too many questions for us to get through tonight, so there may be questions left over again for next week.
Yeah. Is there any other questions in the room? Yes, no? Probably got time for one more question.
Maybe I sneak in two, because this first one's very quick.
Okay. I don't answer things quickly most of the time.
This one you can, Ajahn.
Okay.
I guarantee you.
Okay.
When meditating in person on a Monday, is it okay to sit in a chair, or is sitting on the floor only? I'd like to attend, although I'm currently cannot sit on the floor due to an injury.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Sit on a chair. I sit on chairs as well. So all good.
Thank you. Next question. The next one relating to meditation. There is a question about dealing with violence, but I think at this time of night, on the meditation night, I would ask that person to please come back and ask that on perhaps on a Sunday morning, when there is more time to respond to that question. If you are in a situation with physical threat of violence, do all you can to avoid that. But just for the sake of sticking to the topic of meditation, with one more question. Hi Ajahn, I am a student and am about to sit my final medical exams.
Yep.
I have a regular practice, but as the exam is looming, I find my mind being particularly busy and constantly revising.
Yep.
I can note my mind activity, but I feel my sitting practice is going backwards, and am waiting for my exams to be over to progress again. Any advice, please?
Yeah, pass your exams first. Like, get that done. don't worry about it too much. Like, yeah, these exams, they're pretty important. Put all your effort into that. You know, this is the important thing at the moment. Especially your medical exams, you don't want to do those kinds of things again. The kind of energy and the momentum that you've got at the moment in life is going towards these things. So obviously when you sit at that time, everything is still going towards that. And, you know, that's totally fine. Obviously you spend time sitting meditation, you're sitting down, trying to calm your mind, but you just end up revising and recollecting these things. In a way, that's a good sign for your exams that you can recollect and revise these things. So I wouldn't worry too much about it at the moment. At the moment, the exams and doing well on the exams, this is sort of the important thing. Now, obviously, your meditation practice and your cultivation of your mind, this is the primary important thing in your life, but the meditation, it's going to be something that you do for the rest of your life. It's not just something that you do for like now or for the next like couple of months. It's like you're doing this thing for the rest of your life, but you're not doing your medical exams for the rest of your life. So it's okay. It's okay for this thing that is the most important, which is your cultivation of your mind and your meditation practice. It's okay for this to go down for now, because you're going to have so much time for it to go back up again. You're going to have times where you can actually spend more time meditating and really sort of allowing that to come back. So you think of your meditation as like a long-term project. It's a lifelong project. So there's no need to sort of get weighed down in the, okay, well, this week it's not that good, so what am I going to do? I need to change everything in my life to actually make it better. No, think of it as a long-term thing of your whole life. This is something that you're going to try to improve the quality of your mind over the rest of your life. So that's keep that in the back of the mind. In saying all that, though, obviously you're doing your exams. It's a stressful time. Try to do some meditation, but don't put too much pressure on yourself, say, to do a lot of meditation now. I'm not sure exactly how much meditation you're doing, but let's hypothetically say that you were doing, without the exams you were doing, let's say hypothetically you were doing 20 minutes, Now you're still trying to do 20 minutes. So you can even sort of like reduce that a little bit and just go, well, I'll just do 5 or 10 quality minutes of meditation where I, whatever thoughts about my exams and all these kinds of things, I'll just try and put that down just for 10 minutes. But that other time I'm going to work on my exams and try to do that, you know, try to at least get that done first. You know, sometime in the day first. It's good to get it done in the morning kind of thing. So I was like, okay, cool. I've got up. I've done some meditation. It's not as much as I'd like to, but I've done some. And that's out of the way. And now for the rest of the day, I can, like, worry about my exams and all these kinds of things. And it's good. It seems like you're serious about the practice. So even when you're going into the exams, you can sort of take a few short pauses and, you know, take a breath, take a pause, sort of recenter yourself with your meditation techniques. And hopefully this will be a cause for you to pass your exams. And yeah, I do. I hope you pass your exams. All the best with it. I'm sure you'll go well if you're practicing. You know, I'm sure you'll be able to deal with the stress very well. And yeah, I hope you'll be a doctor soon. So yeah.
Thank you very much, Ajahn. We'll finish there tonight.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So thank you everyone for coming. Again, just a reminder, if we have the Friday night sessions as well, the next one is the what we're calling Discover Buddhism session, where we learn like the very basics of Buddhist teachings. I'm trying to keep them in a very jargon-free kind of manner. So anybody that is sort of interested in learning some of this stuff, you know, they're more than welcome to come on a Friday night. And yeah, Ajahn Nisarana's talk on Sunday morning, and the week after that is another meditation, Friday night meditation session. But with these sessions as well, they are progressing over the course of a few weeks, where you can, with the meditation, you at least like build on your meditation, try to get it deeper, try to sit for longer, but also the Discover Buddhism courses, like the knowledge sort of builds on each other over the course of a few weeks, so you get a decent understanding of what the core teachings of Buddhism are. So I encourage you to come at 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and to Ajahn Nisarana's talk on Sunday. With that, I'll say goodbye.